Thank you. Once again, please press star one if you have a question. And the next question is from David Malalieu from Ottawa. Please go ahead.
Dr. Zeidler, thank you very much for having the conference call. I'd just like to ask a couple follow-ups from John and then some more basic questions. With regards to the repair costs, which were undertaken on the generator this year, you said it was about $0.5 million for maintenance, and that was incorporated into the operating costs. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so what that would fit into the category of maintenance costs?
No, that is included in the costs, in power costs, because we basically net the operation of a generator as a credit, or in this case, as a further cost to power costs.
I see. Okay. So for second quarter, if we had, of course, you've already indicated that perhaps we're only going to have about 60 days of production this year. I mean, you said that maintenance for El Teniente was down for the last half of April, and it's probably the first half of May. Is that about right?
Well, no, I said they are doing their repair and maintenance. They have been doing their repair and maintenance in the last part of April and in the first part of May, but that doesn't mean that they are down for that whole period.
I see. So what do you think we're going to... does that mean that the launder system is still up and running, or
yes?
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're not down to like 60 days out of that entire flow then?
No. We'll for the whole quarter. You mean?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. No, we'll be much higher than that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
we will still have good production in the second quarter. I just mentioned that so that people don't expect another record.
Okay.
A quarter, but we will have good production.
Okay. Now, power costs in 2013. What are those going to be going down to per the contract for that year and then onwards?
Well, the contract states that starting 1st of January 2013, our power costs will be 6.2 cents variable. The variable cost will be 6.2 cents per kilowatt hour,
mm-hmm,
plus inflation adjustment since the start of the contract. So the contract started in 2008, so we'll have to adjust the 6.2 cents by the inflation since 2008, which in our calculation would bring us to about 8.5 or 9 cents. And that's the variable cost, and then you add the fixed cost of making power available,
right,
always having power available, all this. So that would take us probably to just under 10 cents.
Okay. And, I mean, you've negotiated this. Is this an opportunity, and perhaps I'm being a bit too negative here, to have the generators just trucked away and put in two new ones? Are we confident that the generators are up and going, all the heavy pieces of equipment are being replaced, and we're good to go?
Well, we think we have really done a lot of work on them, and I mean, it would I don't think it would make much sense of throwing them away now. We will have some additional repair cost here or there, but it should not be major. And they have been now operating quite nicely in the last 1.5 months.
Okay.
Both of them.
Okay.
And and they will contribute significantly now to the a reduction in our power cost.
Okay. You can hear me moving my piece of paper. Oh, yes. What do we have for the capital estimate for the remainder of 2012?
Well, this year we are very capital intensive in the first half of the year. All our major projects will be are being done in the first half and will be concluded June, July this year. So that will mean that in the second half we should have significantly less capital expenditures if we don't start immediately with the expansion, because we may have a signed contract by that time.
Okay. For the expansion, and as per your press release, we're going into the engineering studies, et cetera, is that going to be capitalized just for the studies?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And what have you budgeted just for the engineering studies design per minute?
About $2 million at this stage.
Ah. And so that will be put into 2012, will it?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And that's over and above, obviously, than the primary annual estimate that was made in Q4 of 11.
No. That was part of it.
Oh, it was part of it.
Yeah.
Okay. So do not double count.
No, don't do that. The $18 million expectation capital expenditures already includes the engineering and permitting estimate that Dr. Sadler was talking about.
Okay. A very basic question, just so we can have a view on actually what did happen. Can you quote me what actually you did process with regards to quantities of tailings from Calaways and El Teniente?
Well, that was all in the production press release.
No, I'm talking about tonnage.
Tonnage
of material processed.
Yeah, I don't have that number just with me right now. But I thought, Michael, that was in the press release, right? How many tons?
Tons of tailings.
No. Total tonnage.
Tons of tailings.
Total tonnage milled was, yeah. And then we did say what percentage of metal we recovered from each method, but I don't think we split out like how many tons
that's
we processed.
That's what I was just wondering how the between the Colorways and the El Teniente, I'm just wondering how aggressive you're being with regard, aggressive or not being aggressive. That's the wrong word, with regards to the actual dredging operation at Colorways, et cetera.
We are dredging right now about 35,000 tons.
A day.
Per day, yes. And that was approximately the number in the first quarter also, a little bit
okay,
late.
That's what I'm trying to get at. And the,
yeah.
The El Teniente, I mean, as per your, I think it was the MD&A last year, I think there was a number in there which gave a projection for how many tons per day of tailings were going to be coming in at the El Teniente. And that's, I modified that downwards. I think it was supposed to be 130,000 tons per day in 2012 and then going up. I flatlined that. Do you want to make any comments on how El Teniente is going to be doing?
Yeah, no, that's about right. I think in the first quarter we were a little bit higher than 130,000. If I'm not mistaken, it was about 132,000, 133,000.
Okay.
And I think that's about the range which they have given us, that they will be in that range of about 130, 135.
Okay. One moment. Ah, yes, you did mention in your opening remarks that there was a reduction in some of the cost because the ore had gotten a bit softer, and so I guess that is measured in kilowatt hours per ton. So,
yeah.
What could you quote that back now? Quantify that.
I don't have that number exactly with me here either, but I think in Q1 2011, we used 5.7 kilowatt hours per pound of copper,
mm-hmm.
and we brought that down to about 5.2.
Okay.
And you can see that also in the reduction of steel ball usage.
Well, actually, you can, but we can't.
Yeah. Well, you see, no, you can see it in the MD&A where we say that the steel ball cost only increased by a significantly less amount than the production. So steel price certainly didn't go down during that time. So this is really consumption.
Okay. I mean, I have seen that in the MD&A, but I've never actually been able to find the very first number.
Yeah.
From which
yeah.
that's being quoted.
Right.
I have looked.
Okay.
So, I guess that's it for me. I can always come back.
All right.
Thank you. The next question is from Kenneth Hefner from Lakeland. Please go ahead.
Hello. I have several questions. For electricity, will the expansion or possible electric for the expansion needs also be under the, 10 cents per kilowatt hour?
No. We have right now a contract which maxes our supply at 45 megawatt. And with the full expansion, now, again, I have to go back to my statement that we will do this expansion most likely in stages. In the first stage, yes, we will have enough power for the first stage under this 45 megawatt contract. However, thereafter, we will need an additional contract because then our power requirements will go up to just under 70 megawatt. And so we will need a new contract for that, and we will not only need a new contract for that, but we will also need a new power line coming into the operation, and that power line will be approximately probably 3 kilometers, a 3 kilometer power line, which we will need in addition to the present power line.
Okay. Now, I would like to comment. I would love to see about one or two pages on the generators as far as some basic financials, meaning the fuel, maintenance, account, the amount of accounts receivable in regards to it, number of megawatt hours generated, maybe a couple of comments, but that's more of a comment. Now, on your contract for the electricity, who is that with, and how financially stable are they? What I'm getting at is, could they declare bankruptcy to get out of the contract?
It's one of the two largest electricity companies in Chile, I mean, my comment on that. I mean, if they would go bankrupt, then there would be a whole lot more problems than that company going bankrupt. You have to remember, these companies are not producing power at these marginal costs at which they sell power. What marginal cost means, and what marginal cost in these contracts mean, is that you have to buy power at the price which the most expensive unit of power production produces power at. So when hydro power is not available because it hasn't rained for 2 years, and for instance, a coal-fired power plant is down because of major repair and maintenance, these power companies have to go to ever more expensive units to produce the power which is asked for, because the demand is there. So right now they have to go to the most old-fashioned and most expensive diesel generators which they have in the country. And these diesel generators produce the power at 30 cents. So therefore, the power cost, if you have a marginal cost contract, is 30 cents. Now, we used to have a marginal cost contract till last year, but this year it is already softened by saying, yes, it's marginal cost, however, it is capped at 20 cents. So therefore, we are now buying at 20 cents rather than at the 30 cents which the marginal cost is. However, that is just the most expensive power unit, which produces at 30 cents. Then, of course, these power, these electricity companies, they have a lot of power, which they produce at 3, 4, or 5 cents, namely hydropower. Then they have coal-fired power plants, where they produce the power at 6 to 8 cents. And then they have LNG power plants, where they produce it perhaps at 10 cents. So when they have to when they have to deliver power based on the contract which they did at these fixed prices, that doesn't mean that they are losing money. It just means that they are not making as much money as they do right now.
Okay. Have there been any steps taken as far as like running a credit check or anything like that to any clients that you would be selling electricity to?
No, we can't. This is a very good question, and we have looked into that not only once, because we just couldn't believe that we have absolutely no influence on to whom we deliver power or not. We are part of the grid, and we are delivering into the grid, and we don't know at the time when we deliver to whom we deliver. This is decided by the grid, and we have no influence on it at all. And if something happens, if somebody receives power and cannot pay for it, then everybody who delivers into the grid will suffer. in the case last year, as you may recall, where we delivered power and the company went bankrupt at that point, we participated in that with 1.5%. And 98.5% was covered by other providers.
Okay. I would like to congratulate you on your recovery rate. The recovery rate for the first quarter, could we say that might be typical of the future, or could it possibly go higher?
Well, you know, our recovery from old tailings is certainly higher than from fresh tailings. And so if you project into the future, with expanded production also from Cauquenes, then certainly the recovery would go up, because a larger portion of our total production would come from the old tailings.
Okay, so you're saying the actual recovery rate, not the number of pounds, but the rate of recovery is actually greater on the old tailings?
Yeah. Yeah, what we call, you know, percentage recovery, i.e. you have an inflow of copper into your plant, and then you recover copper from that, and then, you know, you don't have 100% recovery, you have a certain percentage, and that percentage is certainly higher for the old tailings than for the fresh tailings.
Okay. Thank you very much. It's been helpful.
You're welcome.
The next question is from Raymond Goldie from Toronto. Please go ahead.
Thank you. And gentlemen, I'd like to bring together Mr. Clark and Mr. Polcari's questions about the pilot plant, and Mr. Malalu's about capital costs with respect to engineering studies and permitting for the expansion, and ask, of the expenses that Codelco has guaranteed it will repay if they do not proceed with allowing you to access Cauquenes, what of the operating costs of the pilot plant and the capital costs of the engineering studies would be covered by that guarantee?
No. It's Ray. It's just the cost for permitting and pre-engineering cost.
Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions registered at this time. I'd like to turn the meeting back over to Mr. Kuta.
Thank you very much, operator, and thank you, everyone, for attending the call. And we look forward to speaking with you again after we release our Q2 results. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time, and thank you for your participation.